When abnormal tissue or cancer is found early, it may be easier to treat. Today, I'll ask Dr. David Lee, a dermatologist with MIT Health and Boston Dermatology and Laser Center, about skin cancer prevention and screenings. Welcome to Conversations with MIT Health. I'm Ivo Terra. Dr. Lee, thank you for joining me.
Ivo, thanks so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here to talk about skin cancer.
Well, tell us more about skin cancer. Specifically, how common is this?
I think the numbers are very hard to generalize to the individual level, right? But what it looks like is like by the time the average American is 70 years old, about 20%, or that's one in five Americans, will have been diagnosed with skin cancer. And there's several types of skin cancers that we can talk about as well. I think, you know, the most common two are basal cell carcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma. For the most part, those ones are very treatable with detection. The one that people worry about the most is really melanoma. And when people say, you know, I'm going in for a mole check, they're worried about melanoma. They're not so much worried about the other two things. You know, we as dermatologists, we will screen for any other types of skin cancers there are. But melanoma is the one that's oftentimes most life-threatening. And it's the reason why a lot of people make these annual visits to see the dermatologist.
Yeah, I know there is that fear of what is this thing that is on me right now, and it can be a challenge. And yeah, we don't want the worst answer. We're going to talk about some preventative stuff in a moment, but let's start, I think, at the most important thing, because summer is just around the corner. Some places it's already here, and that means people are outside in the sun. So talk to me about sun protection. What should we be doing?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I think the obvious answer is sunscreen, right? But that's very complicated. There's many different types of sunscreens. There's mineral sunscreens, there's chemical sunscreens, and then there's also like spray sunscreens as well. In general, I tell my patients to apply sunscreen anytime you're going to be outside for more than like 5 to 10 minutes. In terms of which type of sunscreen, honestly, I think one that doesn't leave white cast on the skin, or one that the patient is going to feel comfortable putting onto their skin, right? That's going to be the one that's most effective. So I don't really care too much about the chemical, the mineral distinction. The spray sunscreens, that one, this is probably derived from where I trained. The folks that I trained, where I did my training, we often told people to avoid the spray sunscreens because we actually don't know what happens if they're inhaled. Like long-term studies haven't really been done about that. The other thing is that we've seen a lot of patients putting the spray sunscreens, but oftentimes when you're like out on the beach, the wind like will blow it everywhere and you think you're getting it on your skin, but it's like actually not there. So in terms of sunscreen, you know, use one that you will like. And if you're going to be outside, try your best to reapply it every 2 hours, or any time you get into the water, assume that a lot of it will wash off. The other things I generally tell patients is long UV protective clothing is very important. It may not be feasible to apply sunscreen like all over your body. I mean, ideally you do, right? But sometimes you get lazy. And there are these new things called UV protective clothing, and you can buy them online. They're generally pretty good at preventing UV protection, similar to a sunscreen would be. And the last thing I tell people is like, especially men, as you get older, you start losing your hair, and the top of your scalp becomes an area where the sun will just like shine directly upon, right? So I tell people, men and women, wear like one of those wide brimmed hats if you're going to be outside for a long time. And, you know, the uglier the hat is, the better it will be, I think. That's our general rule of thumb.
Yeah. Those big floppy hats are a great thing to have on you because, yeah, that sun is pretty brutal out there. You talked about UV protection from clothing, obviously, and big hats to shade us. And then you talked about sunscreen itself. Talk to me about SPF. Should everybody be wearing 100? Should we be wearing 5s? What are these numbers mean? And what are you recommending?
That's a really good question. I think that's something that patients ask me a lot about. I think the numbers, the common numbers that you will see in the store is like SPF 30, SPF 50, SPF 70, and SPF 100. I think the takeaway is that we have dermatologists, scientists have done studies looking at what these numbers mean. And actually what they mean is like what percent of UV is actually being blocked out, like what percent of UV rays are being blocked out, right? So if I recall, the numbers are like SPF 30 will block out approximately 97%, if I remember correctly. SPF 50 will block out 98%. So you see how like, even though the number is much
scale.
Higher.
Yeah,
exactly,
that's
exactly. So you kind of reach diminishing returns. So people who are using SPF 70 or 100 are approaching like 99% protection from UV rays, which is great. The trade-off here, though, is that sometimes they're more expensive, is one. Oftentimes, you will find that the higher the SPF, the more difficult it will be to apply this sunscreen. It may have like a really strong white cast or sheer kind of glare. It's going to look like you're reflecting sunlight off to other people. So my general recommendation for patients is like for everyday use, definitely do an SPF 30 at least. If you're going to be outside for a very long period of time, I would probably stick with an SPF 50. And personally, I use something that's like SPF 45. So that's my go-to.
So all of these things are great for sun exposure, right? But I don't know if you know this or not, Dr. Lee, but there are people in the summertime who actually seek out sun exposure. I might be married to one of them. So how much sun exposure is really too much for the sunbathers out there?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And you know, it differs for every single patient. Patients who are really fair-skinned probably cannot stand out to be in the sun for more than like a really intense sun, like 10 minutes, people will start burning even, right? Meanwhile, other people with darker skin tones, they have more melanocytes, more melanin in the skin. They actually have more natural protection against the sun and against the UV rays. So I think that differs substantially for every single person. I generally tell people though, like if you're going to be outside in direct sun for more than 10 minutes, even if it's like you're walking to work, right? Like you want to have some sunscreen on. Yeah, sunbathers, it's very common. A lot of my patients do that. I generally recommend against it, right? But you know, sometimes in Boston, it's like if we're in the winter time or early spring and we have like a nice day, you're going to find on Boston Common like a ton of people doing that. And it's like, listen, I can't fault them for it. This is like the one sunny day that we're going to get.
Right, right. And we need the vitamin D, right? We need vitamin D. That's where we get it from. So yeah, you brought up light-skinned versus dark-skinned people. Let's talk about misconceptions some people might have about I am either protected or I am least protected depending on my skin tone. Does that really matter?
That's a really good question. And it's one that actually comes up a lot, right? So there is this question, I think, that was posed among the research community in dermatology, sometime within the last 5 years, is like, do patients with darker skin tones actually need to use sunscreen? And there's still some controversy about it. In general, I still recommend it because even folks with darker skin tones can get UV damage. So I think that's really important. And I think the other misconception is that those who have darker skin tones just flat out don't get skin cancer. And that's not true. I personally treated several skin cancers and folks with darker skin tones who, you know, thought that they would never have skin cancer. I think in general, patients who have darker skin tones are more protected from the sun, are less likely to get these types of skin cancers that are directly induced by UV light. But it doesn't mean that they're totally immune to it.
Mm. And you bring up a good point. We're talking about skin cancer as caused by or issues caused by UV light, but there are likely other factors that would increase someone's risk of developing skin cancer, even if they're sun careful. Yes?
Absolutely. There are a lot of things that can do that. I think we won't be able to name all of them, but a couple that are fairly pervasive on a day-to-day for me that I talk to patients about is like, so let me take a step back. Like when we talk about melanoma, right? It's like someone gets melanoma really young. We think, huh, that's kind of weird, right? There might be some kind of genetic component to this. And then we ask the patients like, hey, does anyone in the family, anyone else have something like this? Do anyone else have any other types of cancers? There are these types of like genetic syndromes and things that can run in families, genetic defects that can predispose you to early onset of cancer. So that's one big bucket, right? The other thing is like general immunosuppression. Patients who have undergone, for instance, renal transplants, we actually like to see those patients more frequently. We find that people who are on anti-organ rejection medications to prevent organ rejection after a transplant, those patients oftentimes have weakened immune systems and they require active monitoring to make sure that they don't get these skin cancers that may not be directly UV induced, but they escape the immune surveillance. So your immune cells don't capture it before they mutate and divide and turn into a skin cancer. So those are just a couple of things that will increase your risk.
So let's talk about the screening process for those who have not yet had the pleasure of a skin cancer screening session. What's it like?
Generally, they come into the clinic. My medical assistant or nurse will give them a gown to change into, and the patient can change can take off as many layers of clothing to whatever degree comfortable that they would like. In general, we tell people to leave their underwear on, but socks off, right? Like, we want to see as much of the skin as we can. I would basically come in, talk with the patient, ask them a bit about their family history, their personal history of skin cancer and health history, just to kind of assess their individual risk, because not everyone needs to be seen every 6 months or every 1 year for a skin exam, right? Especially people who are young and healthy and have very minimal risk factors. So we discuss that. And then I just look over all of their skin. My personal style is that I like to look over everything on the backside first, including the backs of the ears. And then the patient will look at everything in the front. If there's anything in the private area, we ask the patient, you know, is there anything for us to look at? Happy to check here. And of course, in the end, we always check in between the toes as well, because there are certain types of skin cancers that will happen underneath the feet and also in between the toes, around the fingernails, things that you don't oftentimes think are areas that are not oftentimes exposed to the sun can still get skin cancers. And that's about it. And, you know, at the end, we talk about a follow-up plan. It's like, should I see you back in 1 year? Should I see you back in 6 months? Every patient is different. And we kind of come up with that number based on a number of factors.
Yeah, I know that I always get tickled when mine pulls my toes apart and does that. I also shave my face. I have a beard, and every end of December is when we go in, I always shave so that she can see what's happening underneath my skin. Cause she asked that for like 4 years in a row. And I went, I guess I should show her.
So that is such a good tip. It is absolutely a good tip. I try to parse through the beard hair, but you know, it's tough.
It can be. It certainly can be. So let's think about people who are a little nervous about coming in. Maybe someone has said, is that mole or freckle really worth getting checked out? What are your advice to the reluctant patients?
In general, we try to work with the patient to get them to be at a comfort level that they're good with, right? So if we just want to check a single freckle or a single mole, totally fine to do that. We don't have to do the entire skin exam for them. But you know, if someone is not sure about something, it's much easier to just set up an appointment, get checked, and then we send them out on their way, and then we can see them as needed. But it's always good to be reassured to make sure that something is not an active cancer that's growing.
Great advice. Any other items you wanted to throw out before we wrap things up here?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it was in New England Journal of Medicine years ago that there was this photo of an elderly man, and half of the face, I believe the left half of the face, was like completely wrinkled and sun damage, and the right half was actually pretty good. And it's a reminder. It's like the things that we do on the day-to-day, you might be exposing yourself to very low levels of UV radiation that we don't even think about, right? And in this case, I believe memory serves, that was a truck driver. So driving in the driver's seat over time will expose you to a lot of sun damage right over the left side of your face. People who are walking to work every single day, even if it's a 10-15 minute walk, like in the summertime, like you're going to get that chronic low level UV radiation. And it's not just about skin cancers, right? Like, people are worried about wrinkles. They're worried about discoloration on their face. And those are also types of things, like having UV and having repetitive sun exposure will make you look older over time. So oftentimes I have that discussion with patients because skin cancer is something that they're not too worried about right now because they're young. But when you mentioned, you know, aging and wrinkles, they're like, oh yeah, definitely. Let me do the sunscreen.
Right. That makes sense. Well, Dr. Lee, thank you very much for this great conversation. I know everyone is much more informed about what they should be doing, which is wearing sunscreen when they go outside. Thanks again.
Of course, Ivo. Happy chatting with you.
Once again, that was Dr. David Lee, a dermatologist with MIT Health. That concludes this episode of Conversations with MIT Health. Head on over to our website at health.mit.edu for more information or to get connected with one of our providers. Please follow Conversations with MIT Health on your favorite podcast listening app and never miss a conversation. If you found this podcast episode helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Ivo Terra, and this has been Conversations with MIT Health from MIT Health. Thanks for listening.